Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today, the focus of Route 51 again returns to politics as we continue our election year forums with State Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker, a Democrat from the 29th State Senate District in Wausau. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Senator Decker was first elected to the State Senate in 1990, and he won every one of his re-election bids starting in 1994. As the State Senate Majority Leader, he is one of the most powerful political leaders in the state of Wisconsin. He grew up on his family's dairy farm west of Athens, graduated from Athens High School, and graduated from North Central Technical College in 1980. He worked construction as a bricklayer prior to running for the State Senate and became business manager of the Bricklayers Union. Senator Decker faces Dr. Pam Galloway in the November 2nd general election. Dr. Galloway is a physician and surgeon who operated the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. She appeared on Route 51 a few weeks ago with her Republican primary opponent, Jimmy Boy Edming. She declined an invitation to appear live on this program due to a scheduling conflict. We're going to hear from Pam Galloway in a segment recorded from that Route 51 program in a few minutes. And after that, we want to hear from you. If you'd like to call with a question or comment for Senator Russ Decker, our lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. Now, for those of you who are joining us from the Eau Claire area, if you're regular listeners of the West Side and you're listening on WHWC 88.3 FM Eau Claire or WFRW 88.7 FM River Falls, this is a different number than you're used to calling. Again, the number to talk to Senator Decker is toll-free, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Russ Decker, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
And let's start off with the obvious question. Why should voters in the 29th State Senate District reelect you?
Well, Glenn, I was born and raised here, as you said earlier. I grew up on my parents' farm. I milked cows before I went to school, did chores when I got home from school, and I think that's the basis of what my parents instilled in me, is that hard work is a good thing, and it's rewarding. So I think I've tried to carry that whole ideal on into the political office that I've been fortunate to hold. And I think I've really zeroed in especially the last session, on protecting the middle class and doing what we can for economic development and job growth. We've had some successes. We still have a long ways to go. And, you know, what's happening now is similar to what I was going through in the early 80s. I was laying brick and finishing concrete. I lived in Abbotsford then, two little boys to raise, and I had been out of work for 8 months. So I know what it's like to face that unemployment check week after week and still make your house payment and your car payment, try to pay for the fuel and lights and groceries, and every night go to bed wondering how you're going to make ends meet. And back then, if you remember as well as everybody else, the interest rate on our home loans were 12, 13, and 14%.
Right.
And I'd go down to the bank and just pay the interest on my home loan and try to scrape it together, work part-time jobs. So I've been there. I know a lot of these people are going through.
Tell us what you hope to accomplish in another four-year term that you couldn't get done in the past 20 years. In other words, what are your top priorities for the state of Wisconsin right now?
To improve the caliber of living for working families. I think they've been stepped on long enough. I think the big multinational companies have had their way far too long. I think the people on the top end of the economic scale, mainly the very, very wealthy, have had it their way too long. And I think if you look back in history, when you've had more of a fairness in the way incomes are dispersed throughout this state and through this country, the middle class excels. And that's what drives the economy, because they buy wash machines and dryers and better cars. They might re-roof their home, all those type of things that add jobs and are economic benefit.
On your mailers in the district, you prominently feature the grant that helped out Flambeau Papers in Park Falls. So I'm sure you want to talk about that. Tell us why you think that's important enough to send out on a mailer to everyone.
Well, you know, one of the things was when the Flambeau River paper mill closed down several years ago, over 300 people lost their jobs. And that was an eye-opening experience because, you know, we've always had companies close, but not in an area like that where that Flambeau paper mill was so prominent in the employment. And the whole area started imploding because you went down Main Street and talked to the furniture store or the hardware store or the gas station operator or the restaurant or the local tavern. They were all feeling it because people just got real nervous and they stopped spending. And we got together with the local communities, local business people, some of the local bankers, as well as state government. Dave Olvey and Russ Feingold and Herb Kohler were involved. And a fellow who had an interest, Butch Johnson out of Hayward with Johnson Timber, we kept putting different packages together and different ideas. And finally, we were able to come up with a proposal with the help from the federal government, the state government, and a lot of Butch Johnson's skin in this game, and got that mill going up again. And now 340 people are working there. But the University of Duluth did a study, economic study, and the impact was going to be a loss of over 1,000 jobs, because you have a lot of loggers that supply material. You have a lot of other vendors that supply product. And the whole area of job loss and income loss to that whole, not only Park Falls area, but 60, 70, 80 miles all the way around that. And when that was reopened several years ago, they had a ceremony. They had the high school band. They had different ministers. It was an incredible experience.
Well, I was out there covering it for Wisconsin Public Radio.
I mean, you know, Butch Johnson is a diehard Republican, and I'm a Democrat. And I'll tell you, we forged a relationship that when I go up there into Park Falls and I always stop in to see how they're doing, Randy Stokel is the general manager of the plant, their production is up 18%. And really what they've done is incorporated the knowledge of the workers that have been at that mill for 15, 20, 25, 30 years and say, how can we be better? And I think they've really got something good going.
Well, we're going to take questions for Senator Decker in about 8 minutes at that toll-free number, 1-800-780-9742. But first, we are going to hear from Senator Decker's opponent, Wausau surgeon and physician Dr. Pam Galloway. Again, we asked Dr. Galloway to appear live on this program. She declined because of a scheduling conflict, so we're going to play some of her comments, including criticism she directed at Russ Decker from a Route 51 program a few weeks ago when she appeared with her Republican primary opponent, Jimmy Boy Edming. We have edited out Mr. Edming's responses and edited out most of the phone calls, but we have taken care to make sure that Dr. Galloway's responses to my questions were not edited in any way for content, but appear intact and exactly as they were originally broadcast. We will hear her speak about her economic philosophy, about the proper role of the public and private sectors, about her concerns regarding Wisconsin's business climate, about her endorsement by Wisconsin Right to Life, and about why she has decided to run for the state Senate. Here is Dr. Pam Galloway, recorded on Route 51 on August 26th.
I refer to myself as the fresh face in politics. I've never run for political office before, and if I am elected, I plan on only serving two terms. Both of those things really are resonating with voters. They are really fed up when I go door to door. They really say they're fed up with a career politician. My opponent, Senator Decker, if reelected, will have served 24 years, which is a generation. Many people are looking at that very skeptically and really are looking for somebody who isn't a career politician like the founders intended. And I think the founders intended for us to, for the average citizen to serve in the political realm for a brief period of time, share your good ideas, and then go back to being a private citizen.
On your webpage, you've got a column about how state legislatures need more physicians. Why do you feel that way?
Well, for one thing, physicians are taught to think of the intended and the unintended consequences of any action. And let me give you a medical example. Many physicians give aspirin to patients, and the intended consequence of giving aspirin is to thin the blood so you're less likely to get a heart attack or a stroke. But the unintended consequence of aspirin is that people can get bleeding ulcers and need operations and possibly even die. So I think sometimes legislators don't think through the legislation that they pass. For example, Social Security, which was passed 70 years ago or 65-odd years ago, where there's a huge workforce and the retirement age was a lot lower, so there were more people to support retirees. And now you have just a handful of workers supporting the retirees. So I think that in terms of the way we're trained to think, would be a plus if we were in the legislature.
Well, what are your specific complaints about Russ Decker and the job he's done?
Since Russ Decker is the most powerful legislator, he is responsible for the damaging pieces of legislation that have come out. And the first one that would jump into my mind would be the combined reporting law, which is a law that added taxes to companies like Harley-Davidson that have out-of-state subsidiaries. And so they had a new tax burden imposed on them all of a sudden, and as a result of that had to let people go and are talking about leaving the state.
The argument about that, though, is that we can't allow these businesses to avoid paying taxes simply by registering wherever the tax burden is lowest. That hurts the budget down in Madison. It helps create this $2.5 billion shortfall that we've got.
Well, actually, if you tax anything, you get less of it. So if you raise taxes, you get fewer taxes, because if Harley-Davidson leaves the state, then you won't have them to tax at all. So
you really believe that you can increase revenue by lowering taxes?
Yes.
That makes no sense to an average person who was brought up on simple arithmetic. If you cut something, you're going to get less of it.
The reason if you raise taxes, you get less of it is because people do things to avoid paying the taxes, like leaving the state.
Then shouldn't you be going after tax avoidance?
But I'm talking about a company leaving the state entirely. The number one thing that companies look at when they're thinking about locating in a state is the tax structure. And that's why other states like North Carolina and Texas are better at attracting companies. So a uniformly low tax structure would be more beneficial than raising taxes.
I hear this from you conservatives, that governments don't create jobs. And, you know, you look around, you look at any construction job, you look at the people who are working on this building that's going up right next to us, the Center for Civic Engagement, which was paid for by the government. Governments create jobs all the time, don't they?
But they don't create sustainable jobs. The sustainable jobs are created by private industry. When there's a need for something, whether it's windows, cars, paint, whatever, manufacturers create jobs that are long-lasting, as opposed to the government, which the building that you just mentioned, when that building's built, the job is gone.
Tennessee Valley Authority, the dams, all the things that have been built throughout history that have helped spur economic development in these communities?
And then when the construction job is when the building is built, the job is gone.
Yeah, but the resource is still there helping other people.
Well, we're not saying that things that have been built haven't been valuable. But the point is that the government doesn't create jobs that are sustainable. And the government creates those jobs by taking the money out of the private sector. So who knows what could have been accomplished by the private sector if that money had been left in their hands.
Well, the argument again could be that the private sector really benefited from all the technological advances in the moon program and the science that went along with it.
Or the private sector could have gotten us to the moon faster.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Tom in Rhinelander.
Thank you very much. If you don't believe that government creates sustainable jobs, how do you feel about our more than a century-long tradition of having law enforcement, education, and the military run by government? And if you think that those could be done better by the private sector, please explain what you don't like about the U.S. Army.
When you say governments don't create jobs, is that a slam on the military, the firefighters, and the police officers who are employed by governments?
Well, Glenn, you know I wouldn't be slamming the military or the firefighters or policemen.
But that was Tom's question.
Actually, I don't think that was his question. I think that he was saying that because some of our services are provided by the government, that the government creates jobs. But not so much the U.S. military. I don't think that could be privatized. But other services can certainly be privatized. Teaching could be privatized.
Police and fire?
Potentially. I don't think it has to be.
Realistically, what can anyone do at the statewide level to spur job growth if the problem is national?
Well, we do have a background of a national recession, but there are certain things that states can do. And what the business magazines look at when they rate states as to their attractability for business, number one is the tax structure, and the second is the regulatory structure. Those are both burdens that discourage businesses from coming here. So one would be to have a uniformly low tax rate, and the other would be to decrease regulatory burdens, like making it easier for industry to be able to site a plant and not have to wait 12 to 18 months like they do now before they can start building. So it isn't just a national problem. It is a state-to-state problem, because some companies in the state moved to other states that had a better business climate. So it definitely is something that the business magazines look at when they rate Wisconsin as having, I think it's number 47 or 48th worst business climate in the country.
There was a decision by a federal judge which pulled the plug on embryonic stem cell research, at least the expansion that had been made by President Obama. That decision is now being appealed. There are some who are saying this is a terrible thing for Wisconsin because UW-Madison researchers have pioneered this stem cell research.
I don't support embryonic stem cell research, and I'm also 100% pro-life.
And when you say 100% pro-life, does that mean you're opposed to abortions, even in the case of rape or incest?
Yes.
You would have a woman who was raped, you would force her to bear the child of her rapist.
As a society, we need to embrace life and value life over everything.
But Pam Galloway, you would force that woman to bear the child of her rapist. Your position on abortion is that black and white.
Yes.
No exceptions. Russ Decker is the former president of the Bricklayers Union. Do you favor card check, which would allow people to join a union simply by signing a card?
Well, I don't have anything against unions per se, but I don't endorse the card check concept. I very much support the working man and woman, which is why I want to recreate the cycle of prosperity by making Wisconsin a more attractive place for companies to create jobs.
Pam Galloway, anything you'd like to add?
I'm going to work very hard for victory. I think as a physician, I want to take my listening skills, my problem-solving skills to Madison to serve the community in a different way.
That's Dr. Pam Galloway, recorded on August 26th on a Route 51 program in which she appeared with her Republican primary opponent, Jimmy Boy Edming. Again, we did ask her to be on this program with State Senator Russ Decker. She had a scheduling conflict. We're going to be back in just a minute to have Senator Decker respond to some of those critiques. And we'll also be taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We have State Senator Russ Decker, the Senate Majority Leader, Democrat from Wausau, with us, who is running against Dr. Pam Galloway. We just heard some of Pam Galloway's criticisms. Dr. Galloway is pledging to serve only two terms if elected, Russ Decker, and in her words, she says voters are fed up with career politicians and that if you're reelected, you will have served 24 years in the state Senate, an entire generation. Do you consider yourself to be a career politician?
No, I didn't run for election until I was 37 years old. So, you know, I laid brick and I worked in the factories and I fed my family and did those type of things, so I'm far from that. I think a career politician is something like Tommy Thompson, who after he came out of law school ran for the assembly and then became governor, and then he went to D.C. and became the biggest bureaucrat in the country running the health and family services out there. So not at all, because I still do work part-time in construction, and I've gained a lot of experience, and I like going back working with the regular people because it keeps your feet on the ground more.
According to most political observers, there is a strong anti-incumbent mood sweeping the nation in Wisconsin. If voters want change, doesn't it make sense to replace somebody who has served 20 years and who's one of the most powerful political leaders in the state Senate?
Well, one of the things I need to point out, too, I'm one of 33 in the state Senate, so our votes are equally count, whether it's a yes vote or a no vote. The other thing I'd also like to point out is that from listening to the 8 minutes of my opponent, it seems like her change is going backwards almost to the Civil War time. I mean, she criticized Social Security. You know, before Social Security, 40% of seniors lived in poverty, and it lifted a lot of people up, and it made them able to actually pay their rent and their heat and pay for their home mortgage and that type of thing. But, you know, I also heard her criticize different insurance mandates and those type of things. We just passed insurance coverage for autism, and the parents that brought those kids in made a good case. And the research shows that if you get to those children in their first or second year, you can get a lot of benefit from that type of medical care that they can't afford. So I think we've done some pretty good things. You know, pre-existing conditions, that's getting knocked out. My opponent opposes that. I just can't see why anybody would, because insurance companies have become experts at cherry picking. And if they look in your history and say you've got a bad back or hypertension, they're not going to cover you. So what they want to do is cover the healthy people. And when the other ones can't afford it, then they look to government to try to, like HRSP or Badger Care Plus.
But that health care reform legislation, according to most polls, is very unpopular with the people of Wisconsin. And a lot of people don't like the government telling them that they have to go out and buy health insurance.
Well, we're talking two different things. On the state level, we did Healthy Wisconsin, which a lot of business people in this area embraced. Mike Rayoma is the human resource director at Graphic Packaging. He estimated their company would save almost $5 million a year. And they have 400 employees in Wausau, and they have 400 in Neenah. And he said that would make their operation the most attractive in the country and would be actually a magnet to draw more jobs to Wisconsin. Marathon County did a study. If the Healthy Wisconsin would have saved the county $5.9 million a year. And that would offer them security plan like I have. and truly would have forced the insurance companies to compete with each other in a marketplace.
How is the passage of national health care reform going to affect things like Badger Care, Badger Care Plus, and the Wisconsin high-risk insurance pool for people who have serious medical problems and don't have medical insurance?
We should be okay on those type of things. We're still sorting it out as we go along, too, and I'm sure the feds will be doing trailer legislation. But, you know, being opposed to all, like, my opponent is opposed to Medicare. She said it's unconstitutional. Well, that knocks out senior care.
Are you sure of that?
Oh, yeah. I got the quote from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when she was asked. She said Medicare and the plan that the feds passed was unconstitutional because they didn't have the authority. So, you know, that knocks out medical assistance. That means people in nursing homes. Senior care, which we started back in 1998 when Tommy Thompson was governor. The Republicans controlled the assembly. The Senate was controlled by Democrats. We put a bipartisan group together, worked out the kinks, and over 100,000 seniors in the state of Wisconsin now have benefited from that program.
She's been endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life. As you heard, she's 100% pro-life, no abortions under any circumstances. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, you know, her position is one of those extreme issues. I think that most moderates would say that there should be an exception for the life of the mom. Incest and rape. I think most people would agree with that. I've taken a moderate view on that. I've voted for parental consent in the early 90s when that passed. I also voted for the bill to ban partial birth abortion because I think there should be some exceptions.
So you're against late-term abortions?
Yeah. But I also said that a woman shouldn't have to wait 48 hours. And if she wants access to emergency contraceptive for any kind of a accident that might happen, that should be available to them. Also, pharmacists need to write a prescription, whether or not they agree with it morally or not. That's their job if they want to go into a career like that. So I've taken a kind of a middle of the road, and I listened to the arguments on both sides, and I've tried to listen to the people of this area on what they think should happen as well.
She singles out one piece of legislation in particular as hurting Wisconsin's business climate, the combined reporting law, which you supported. Didn't that law effectively increase taxes by millions of dollars on companies like Harley-Davidson, forcing them to fire workers, get concessions from other workers, and look at moving out of state?
Now, you know what? Here's the situation with combined reporting. I call it the Las Vegas loophole, because what companies do is they set up in the state of Nevada where they have no corporate income tax, and then they're able to cost out the cost of their affiliates. Now, Walmart, I cannot understand why Walmart should come into Rib Mountain and have a different economic and a leg up than the other people in the state, in a city or the Marathon County area that sell retail. You know, Baseman's down on 3rd Avenue should not have that disadvantage. The IJ store in Rib Mountain shouldn't have that disadvantage, nor should Olson Tire or Southside Tire, because Walmart has an economic edge just in purchasing power, but the tax code ought not give them a break as well. So what we said, look, you're going to pay the same freight, because if there's a burglary or a theft at Walmart, they call the cops are going to respond. If there is an unfortunate incident where there's a fire and they call the fire department, they're going to respond. They need to put more into the kitty.
But didn't that cost Harley-Davidson $24 million?
Harley-Davidson ended up paying their fair share.
But it did cost them a lot of money.
They didn't say it was any burden on them. They were mainly concerned about the taxes.
Yeah, but they ended up firing these workers.
Three years ago, Harley-Davidson, and I ride a Harley, so I know what their bike is well quality, made over $1 billion in profit. Then it slowed down because people stopped purchasing motorcycles. Now, I drive a Harley. They're very expensive. They're an expensive toy to have. I got a used one in 1998. So those type of things in the market forces, I think, actually, now they're coming back. I see in the last quarter, they made almost $70 million.
Is it true that Business Magazine's list Wisconsin as having the 47th worst business climate in the nation?
I don't know about the Business Magazine that you quote. I haven't seen that one. But I can tell you this.
Well, those were her figures.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't want to give her criticism or credit because I haven't seen that. But let me tell you this, Glenn. A few years ago.
Very quickly. We've got 30 seconds.
Yeah. I asked the CEO of Kraft Foods, what are the three most important things to you? He said, number one, reliable electricity. Number two, I want to federalize the Family and Medical Leave Act. And number three, I want a strong K-12 system. So if I'm going to hire somebody right out of school, they can go to work for me. If they had to go to tech to get an associate degree, they can do that, or to college to get an engineering degree. That was his top three.
State Senator Russ Decker will be back with your phone calls on Route 51 and the West Side right after this short break for news. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with State Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker, a Democrat from Wausau. And again, we'd like to welcome our listeners this afternoon on WHWC 88.3 FM Eau Claire and WFRW 88.7 FM River Falls. We are taking phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. We just heard from Dr. Pam Galloway from a previous edition of Route 51. She is Russ Decker's opponent in the November 2nd election, and we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to hear from state, if you'd like to speak directly to State Senator Russ Decker. And let's go to the calls. Bruce in Eau Claire has been waiting patiently for 29 minutes now. Bruce here on Route 51. Hello, Bruce.
Well, this is a great show. Thanks for taking my call. I know Senator Decker was involved in an important issue to a lot of us sportsmen in Wisconsin as far as appointment of the Natural Resources DNR secretary by the Natural Resources Board and then trying to reinstate that. And I know he did bring the bring it to a vote in the Sept, even though it was a controversial measure. I'd just like to know what he hopes to do in his next term to further that cause and to actually see the Natural Resources Board gain again the ability to appoint the DNR secretary.
Russ Decker, Jim Doyle seemed to favor that at one point in his political career, and then he said he didn't want to do it. What's up with that, and is there a way to get it done?
It's interesting when people become governor how their positions change from time to time, but you know, we voted for that bill a couple different times, got it on his desk, and the governor vetoed it. The assembly tried to override the veto, but they came up, I think, 6 or 7 votes short. So it'll be around again, and I'm sure Bob Wirtz is from Kenosha. He'll introduce it again, and there'll be somebody in this legislature, and we'll see where it goes.
Bruce, thanks so much for the phone call. And Russ Decker, you were also very critical of the DNR after the last deer hunt when a lot of frustrated hunters were voicing their anger at the DNR leaders. Do you still think there's a problem in managing the deer herd?
I do. You know, I'm passionate about deer hunting, but I'm more passionate about other things like jobs and healthcare and education. But I've called for the DNR secretary to fire his wildlife management team. I think they've got their head in the sand. They won't listen to anybody. It's their way or the highway. They're stuck on this sex, age, kill, the sack method that they use to determine the numbers, what deer are going to be taken in the following season. And the bear hunters and the Turkey Federation and the Safari Club, Whitetails Unlimited, everybody is upset with them, including myself. So I think it's time to bring in a new team.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's pick up Arthur, who's calling us from Wisconsin Dells. Arthur, you're on Route 51.
How you doing, sir, Mr. Decker? Thank you for having me here today. I do have a couple comments first to make about your opponent, the doctor. I'm just kind of, it's her attitude and some of her views that I just don't understand her view on the abortion and her view about privatizing our potential privatizing of our police. And wow, I don't know what else I can really say about that, but I think you should do fine there. Now, I am a little bit further from you. I'm in Wisconsin Dells. I have a family of 4 here, and I worked at one of the big parks here as an aquatics director for about 10 years. And then when we started losing some business down here in the Dells, they started letting go of people, which isn't highly not normal. I mean, they just don't let go of management. So you can just tell that how slow our tourism industry is getting to be down here. I guess my question for you is what's going to happen to the people like myself on unemployment? How many more extensions are we going to be able to do until there is some jobs out here to find? I seek diligently for jobs, and I just... there's got to be people in your area, just like in the Dells, that are having the same problems as me. And I'm worried what's going to happen. Now, I'm a Democratic person. I always vote Democrat. And I just hope that our Democrat officials are going to help us out because we're really in trouble.
Arthur,
I'd like to listen to the response on phone because I stepped away from the radio.
All right. Arthur, thanks so much for the phone call. Senator Decker, your response.
Well, you know, the unemployment benefit extension comes from the federal government, and that was held up by the Republicans for a couple months until finally the Republicans in Congress realized they had to let it go because families were hurting. So we're going to keep plugging away on that. But, you know, jobs and economy is number one, you know, and I've been pushing for infrastructure improvement. Now, I know Tom Deal from the Wisconsin Dells pretty well, and I saw that what happened down there when County Highway A washed out and that whole lake drained. I mean, that was an economic hardship at a natural disaster.
Horrible summer.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually worked for a road contractor that took a look at that, and it was incredible how fast that emptied out. So once it was put back into place, and that's a perfect example our government responds very quickly, put that county highway back up, that lake filled up, and tourism went back because people were calling the different vendors in Wisconsin Dells saying, do you have water? Now, Wisconsin Dells is known as the water capital of the world when it comes to different rides and stuff like that.
Yeah. Arthur, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And Russ Decker, Pam Galloway made the point that the government cannot create sustainable long-term jobs. Only the private sector can do that. Is that something that you would disagree with?
Totally, because if you look at the road construction that's gone in this area, Highway 29, now Highway 51, 29 interchanges done, those are sustainable. But whenever you do that, since Highway 29 has become four-lane, 5,000 new manufacturing jobs located along that corridor because they want to have access to good, efficient transportation system. And those are Wisconsin companies hiring Wisconsin workers. They aren't moving to China. They aren't moving to Mexico.
But the argument is when the construction work is done, the jobs are done.
Well, that project is done, but there's always projects to be done because we have winter that beats the heck out of our roads in the state. The other part about...
Where do you stand on the high-speed rail line that's being built between Madison and Milwaukee?
You know, if it
why should somebody in the 29th State Senate District care about that?
Well, I think you should care about transportation no matter where it is because if you look through what the economic corridor, a lot of our... goods and wares goes down through the Milwaukee into the Illinois area, and then it goes west, some of it west to the Twin Cities. High-speed rail can be a benefit, but I'm concerned if it can sustain itself. Because if we have to subsidize it, where's that cash going to come from? There's no way that we're going to be taking money from town road aids from northern Wisconsin or central Wisconsin or general transportation aids, because that's political suicide. For a Republican or a Democrat.
But how do you refuse the money that's coming from the federal government?
That's not even our choice anymore. The governor has made that commitment, and that thing's going to move on. The question is, if it is built and it can't sustain itself, I don't think they ought to be looking for us in the 29th Senate District to subsidize a train that goes from Madison to Milwaukee. The other point is some people have come up and said that train should go from Milwaukee to the Fox Valley because there's more commerce going up to the Green Bay, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Appleton, Neenah, which I agree with. And I think it might be more profitable or sustainable if it goes that way.
But the idea is it's just the first link. Eventually it'll go to Eau Claire, then to the Twin Cities.
I know, but that's two different options. But my main concern is whether or not it can pay for itself.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Peter in Wausau. Excuse me, I just took Ron in Wausau. Peter, you're next. Ron, you are on Route 51 with Russ Decker.
Hi, Russ.
Morning. Good afternoon.
I have a question. Is it true that your opponent said that it was okay to outsource some jobs? And also, how do you feel about outsourcing?
Yeah, you know, my opponent was asked at an interview about jobs leaving the country, and she said, you have to look to see if they're worth preserving. And I just, when I heard that and read that, I almost fell off my chair because, one, every job is worth preserving, and we need to do it. We also passed the American Jobs Act that said that state contracts will be let to companies that don't outsource, that aren't located in other countries. So we do what we can within the Interstate Commerce Clause of the Constitution. But I was shocked to hear that say you have to evaluate whether some of those jobs are worth preserving by Galloway.
Do you really believe that every job is worth preserving? I mean, at one point we had at one time we had companies making horse and buggy whips, you know, before we
But technology changes. You know, if you go into paper mills or the window factories around here, technology changes, but the same workers can stay on. And if you go into the American Asphalt down here or to Domtar and look at the amount of workers that have to have computer skills now, 35, 40 years ago, they did everything pretty much manually, and their workforce has changed, but those same people are still working there.
Well, what's your solution to outsourcing? Do you want to stop all the free trade agreements and put tariffs on imported goods?
If I were king for today, Glenn, NAFTA and GATT would have never happened because I don't think anybody can prove there's a benefit to either one of them.
Ron, thanks so much for the phone calls. Let's go back to the calls. And again, if you want to join us, there are lines open right now, 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. We have State Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker. Peter in Wausau, you're on Route 51. Hello, Peter.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. Senator Decker, you've been in the Senate for a long time, and as I understand it, you've been part of Truth in Sentencing and OWI felony enhancements to make sure that convicted felons and now especially repeat drunk drivers actually serve the time the judges determine they're supposed to spend in prison or jail. But now you've been part of the early release program, and where I read in the Milwaukee Journal about rearrest of some of the felons that you let out early, including one in Lincoln County. And From out here, it looks like you and your colleagues are going around in circles. Can you tell us that that this corrections policy that is reflected in the budget makes sense and is consistent with public safety?
Well, I think we've done a pretty good job of protecting public safety. You know, you talked about the OWI penalties. They're going to go up. That was a major piece of legislation that went through. And a lot of the students in this area and their parents and families were involved in that. We did the three strikes that you're out. The truth in sentencing happened. But in order to actually save some dollars and balance some budgets, we had to look at corrections. And we cut over $30 million from corrections, so some things had to give.
Peter, do you have a quick follow-up?
Well, when you talk about the drunk driving part, our county officials are telling us that there are new state mandates, but they don't have the money to pay for the programs that you're requiring them to do.
Well, I work very closely with the counties, and at one time I talked to Dave Kaminsky, who's the sheriff in Rusk County. He says, you know, they need more jail capacity, but they don't need a maximum security jail for some of the people who are property or drunk drivers. And I said, we ought to look at taking some of these schools that have closed down, retrofitting them, and putting in some of the nonviolent people in there, because that would be a way for us to save money and still make them serve time rather than build a maximum security jail for some of the nonviolent offenders.
Peter, thanks so much for the phone call. 1-800-780-9742 if you want to talk to Russ Decker and talk to him about the issues facing the election coming up in November 2nd. He will be facing Dr. Pam Galloway, a surgeon from Wausau, on that November 2nd ballot. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Contributors to WPR include the Master Singers. UW-Eau Claire Women's Chorus joins the Master Singers for America, My Home, the Best of All Possible Worlds at Eau Claire's First Lutheran Church, October 10th at 2. Details at themastersingers.net.
WPR.org, that's WPR.org, or 888-202-2552 if you want to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio during this, our pledge drive, and keep regional talk radio programs like Route 51 in the Wausau area and up in Park Falls and all the way down to Adams Friendship and the West Side in Eau Claire. 888-202-2552. Your phone calls and your pledges keep us on the air. We've got State Senator Russ Decker with us on this special edition of Route 51, which is also being carried by the West Side in Eau Claire. 800-780-9742. We have a line open for you if you'd like to talk to State Senator Decker. And right now, let's go to Jim in Lincoln County. Jim, you're on Route 51.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. Senator Decker, my comment is that rather than violating the human rights of undocumented workers, I'd like to see a program put together where we document the costs incurred in our health system and social services system, and bill Mexico and take them to the world court if we need to, and that's going to impact Wisconsin. So and our districts. I'd just like to hear your comments, and thanks for your really good service to the district.
Well, thank you, Jim. I don't know how to make a study of the cost. I we'd have to have some very, very thought put into that, how we would go at about it. We'd have to incur all the hospitals and physicians and dentists that are doing that. Let me talk about legal immigrants for a second. I think immigrants that migrate to this country ought to do it by the book. We have laws, and we have to abide by the laws, Glenn, you and I, and everybody else, and they should as well. But what we passed in the Senate twice that the Republicans killed in the Assembly twice was the hammer down on these employers that knowingly hire legal immigrant. In the governor's budget, he had a provision to give driver's card to legal immigrants. And I and a number of legislators said, we're not going to do that. And you know who hammered us the hardest? Were the farmers. They said, we want cards for these illegal immigrants that work on our farms to drive. And we said, no way. If they're going to be here, they're going to be here legally. If they're going to live by the same rules, they're going to be here legally.
Jim, do you have a quick follow-up?
My direction with this is to say that there are some other avenues, not talking about trying to make any shortcuts to citizenship or anything, just the direct costs of the undocumented workers we are incurring in our systems. And it seems to me that the simplest way to manage that in the short term is to tally those dollars, and I don't think that's very hard to do. And
you know, Russ Decker, there are a lot of undocumented workers picking our fruits and vegetables and working in our meatpacking plants, from what I've heard anyway, right here in central Wisconsin. Wouldn't the economy take a hit if we crack down on that?
Nah, you know, I think that's a facade that's put up saying that we got to have them because Wisconsin workers don't want to do it. Well, pay a decent wage. You know, my opponent also said that the minimum wage forces employers to hire illegal immigrants. I've seen her in print, and I've heard it said by her. So, you know, that's a really incredible statement for her to make. So I think, yeah, $7.60 an hour, we tried to increase minimum wage, and it didn't make it through the assembly. So we've done a number of things, I think, to beef it up. But, no, I don't think it's going to hurt at all, because what's happening is it's exploiting existing workers. Because these legal immigrants come in, a lot of them work for cash. We don't even know they're around. The employers that are doing it ought to be hammered.
Let's go back to the phones. And, Jim, thanks so much for your phone call. We have Hans in Merrill. Hans, you're on Route 51 and the West Side.
Good afternoon. Wondering if reelected, what would you do to encourage renewable energy and reduce our dependence on energy that we import from out of the state?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is biomass. You know, up in Park Falls, again, they're doing a biodiesel. They've been looking at, instead of having the treetops rot into the woods, just bring them in. You know, Butch Johnson, again, he said they used to pay loggers to bring it in, but it was green and it was heavier, so they got smart to that. And now they encourage the loggers to leave it in the woods for 6 months and then bring it in. They pay them on BTU value. So I think the whole biomass is one way for us to go to get us off of that. Ethanol was hot for a while, but it kind of cooled down a little bit, and the investments aren't quite what they want to be. We should look at hydro. There's a dam up in Manitoba that's going to export that electricity. Either we get it here in Wisconsin through the power lines, or it's going to go to Minnesota or to the West Coast. So I think there are available options out there for us, but I think those type of things keep the money here in Wisconsin and in other areas of the central upper Midwest rather than exporting it.
Hans, thanks so much for the phone call. We have a wind turbine factory that's about to get underway, very close to breaking ground down in Wisconsin Rapids. So there are people pursuing renewable energy in central Wisconsin.
Right. Well, that's Energy Composites down there. Jamie Mansell is the fellow. I give him a lot of credit. You know, he's a local fella who wanted to see the local community expand and actually worked with Julie Lassa very closely on putting a package together to try to get that going. So that was exciting to have that groundbreaking. I understand he's got a little bit of financial packages still put together, but we're definitely interested in trying to help him get that project off the ground.
Senator Decker, the state faces a $2.7 billion budget deficit, and it's probably grown since I wrote that this afternoon.
Or gone down.
Do you think it's gone down?
I hope so.
Well, your opponent, Pam Galloway, says as the top legislative leader in the state Senate, you're partially to blame for that. It's been your decisions over the past 20 years, your spending decisions primarily, that have caused this budget deficit to balloon out of control. How do you respond to that?
Well, let me just say I'm 1 to 33, and I'm 1 to 132 in the legislature. So we have to get enough votes in the Senate and the Assembly to pass the same bill to get it on the governor's desk. So there's a lot of people that are involved in the process. It's interesting you bring up about my opponent. She said she would exempt education, transportation, and public safety. That comes up to about two-thirds of the state budget. So what's left? Poor people for her to go after. Let me just point out, we had some good times, and the economy soured on us. Now, we've got more and more expenditures, and we're trying to rein it in. We're trying to squeeze every nickel out of every dollar. In the last state budget, we did $970 million of cuts. We cut the legislature, we cut the governor, we cut Department of Revenue, the DNR, Department of Corrections, all those areas. We cut in state employees by over $190 million. So we're going to look at that. You know, we got rid of a program called Forward Wisconsin. Pat Kreitler from Chippewa has been very active in that. And we looked at it and said, it's being duplicated. Let's get rid of it. You should have heard the Republicans squeal when we got rid of it because they're saying, don't cut that program. That was about $280,000. Now, if you can't cut, as a Republican, $280,000 out of a budget the size of Wisconsin, how are you ever going to come up and balance it? So while the Republicans are out there pounding their chest saying, I'm going to cut, they talk about it, but they never do. You know, we unfortunately have to close some of the services in the state of Wisconsin. And people call me up and say, why are you doing that? I'm saying that's what happens when you cut budgets. There's going to be some anxiety.
Can you balance the budget without doing tax increases?
You could. You could, but it'd be nasty because the biggest expenditure we have is school aids.
So are you saying you're in favor of tax increases? Or
I'm saying if we're going to look at squeezing every nickel out of every dollar, and if we have to go to loopholes, I think that'd be a way for us to go. The five big expenditures in the state, school aids, shared revenue, the university, Department of Corrections, and medical assistance. That's 80% of the budget. So it's a lot of that that we have to deal with. If we cut school aids, school boards are forced with a decision to cut education or raise property taxes or a combination. If we cut shared revenue any deeper, local communities are forced to raise property taxes or cut police, fire, and safety programs.
Are you really saying that there are enough loopholes out there to go after that we might be able to
First, we're going to look at where we can cut down and squeeze down different programs, and we keep looking at that. You know, Tom Barrett's out there with saying, I think he's right, we're going to look at all the programs because you had Republican governors for 16 years. The legislature was Republican in those years, and they didn't do hardly anything. Their biggest claim to fame at pounding their chest in southeast Wisconsin is they raised taxes to build Miller Park.
We are all out of time. And we do want to thank today's guest, State Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker, a Democrat from Wausau, representing the 29th State Senate District. Senator Decker faces Dr. Pam Galloway, a Republican, in the November 2nd general election. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to Dean Kallenbach in our Eau Claire studio for bringing this special broadcast to today's audience on WHWC 88.3 FM Eau Claire and WFRW 88.7 FM. River Falls. Thanks as always to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Now, a reminder, this Monday night, October 11th, I'll be moderating a statewide debate sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio between Democratic incumbent U.S. Senator Russ Feingold and his Republican opponent, businessman Ron Johnson. The debate can be heard live Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. statewide on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network and on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. The event takes place at the UW Marathon County Theater in Wausau. Our media partners, the Wausau Daily Herald, WAOW-TV9, WSAW-TV7, both in Wausau, and the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.